We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Just in, we have a new guest, Patrick Manelli.
Patrick Manelli, the longest tenured player in Chicago Bears history.
I want to thank the Bears organization for an incredible 16 years.
Score football pregame and postgame show co-host.
Mitch needs to throw a more accurate ball. Those were throws that should have been better. He's an athlete. He should make that catch. But to me, that's back on Mitch. Throw a better ball. Don't make him double jump. You know, I've got a whole page here of all the bad throws Mitch had, and it's long.
Master in the art of the long snap.
Do you have any kids?
I do.
Check out longsnapper.com. Have them start early to learn how to long snap.
He even has a signature beer.
Long Snapper IPA. The can, the artwork's me long snapping a ball on top of an El Camino. I have an El Camino, so the artwork's great. The beer's great.
Patrick Manelli.
That was a good snap.
With Dan Bernstein on 670 The Score.
How long does it take to grow the mullet?
The gourmet mullet?
Why is it gourmet?
Because it's awesome.
Do you, though? Do you like where you're at?
I would say we're just okay right now. You know, I think we expect a little better, but I'm not criticizing our players and coaches. That's a part of being in the second week with no preseason. So we have high expectations and we want to be better. So I think that's just speaks to who our guys are as people. Yep.
Fair enough. I like hearing the head coach say that. He's not getting too excited. Not all things are seashells and balloons in the world of Matt Nagy. But
I would
Bears
say we're just okay right now.
Yeah, they're okay. They're fine. They're 2-0. They beat a couple of bum-ass teams, and that's okay. It's what you do, not taking anything away from that, except we're kind of taking something away from that, because that's our job, to be honest about what we're seeing. This is the time of our week, and we bring in Patrick Manelli. He is on Twitter, at Patrick Manelli. He's on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Well, here we are, and by the way, you should be watching on Twitch, because I'm looking at Patrick right now. He's in his lovely music room, and at some point, we're going to teach him three chords, and he's just going to pull one of those guitars down and just absolutely start rocking before this season is over. And so what was that? Where are we in your Bears world?
Well, we'll start with entertainment. The second half, you know, at least, you know, I thought the first half it was going to be a sleeper for the next half, and it might have been a couple cold beers and then have the post game with Hub and just talk about how good the Bears are, but they turned out to be the Bears. They let them right back into it. And I was joking about the beers, by the way. But no, it was entertainment, and I'd love to hear Matt Nagy say they're just okay. I'm glad he's saying that. I heard you earlier, I think in transition, talking about the Bill Parcells thing about you are what your record says you are. No, they're not. And they know that. They know they're not that good yet. They've beaten two bad teams. They know that. Those are games, Dan, where when you go into those games and you put roster versus roster and you're confident about your roster, you think that's an easy 7-10 point win. It should be. That's one that you're mentally thinking that going into these games. And then to go down or to both games come down to what they did and escape the way that they did, you're like, maybe we're not that good. But I still like this team. I think they have enough talent to make a little bit of a run, and I don't know if they're, you know, top five in the NFL, but they have enough talent on this team to do okay. But they're just okay. That's what they are.
Why are so many NFL games like that? Why do so many games end up with whoever's losing in the fourth quarter start to make a run? Is it because of the nature of conservative defensive play calling? Does it have to do with some of these loose zones that allow teams to start chunking up yards? I always wonder why that is, but there's a natural gravity of a lot of football games to end up similar to what happened in the Bears game yesterday.
That's a great question, and my answer is I don't know. But it's entertaining for us as fans. But I do think part of it has to do with the defenses playing the way they do. I mean, you look at the Bears the entire fourth quarter, I think the Giants only called four runs. But every single pass play, it seemed like they were just sitting back and allowing that undercut route or, you know, everything to be in front of the chains. I think they only blitzed, when I watched it again, I think three times in the second half, and two of them were sacks. I'm just kind of surprised Chuck Pagano wasn't more aggressive. I think he has enough playmakers on the back end that he can be more aggressive with the guys up front to cause Daniel Jones to make bad decisions. The Pittsburgh Steelers did it, and it was a great formula that they had last week against them, and it worked. They had a big, you know, interception after I think it was in the end zone or whatever, but they forced Daniel Jones to make a bad decision, and it seemed like the Bears just let Daniel Jones just dink and dunk it down the field, and that brought him back in the game. I would have liked to see more pressure.
The front seven, whatever you want to call it, however you want to describe it, has not lived up to expectations yet. And we've just played the comment from Matt Nagy where he essentially said that. Is this a conditioning issue? Is this something where we have to look at game condition for some of these elite athletes and say, with no preseason, it's really hard for them to have their energy system, however they do it with interval training, you know, some of the anaerobic stuff, to be ready to go full out the way we expect him to?
I think so. Yeah, you can train all you want. I remember we had Rusty Jones as our strength coach, and what he used to do was put a heart monitor on a player during the game, and he put a conditioning, not a test, but a conditioning, you know, exercise for us to kind of make sure we mimicked our heart rate throughout a game, like if you're a lineman or tight end or whatever that normally is, but it still doesn't equate to playing a game. You know, you can do that all off season, but once you get out there playing a game, it's just different. It's, you know, the energy's up quite a bit. And, you know, I think this is kind of two preseason games, but they're full games for these guys. But it's going to take some time for them to get into shape. But that being said, they're still too good up front to not get home. You know, they only had 4 sacks or 3 sacks or whatever it is. But, you know, they gave up 13 points, but I just want them to get home more often. I want to see more pressure. And I think they know that. Khalil Mack talked about it. He needs to be a game changer. And that's somebody that at the end of that game should have won the game for him. You know, that's a guy you saw 2 years ago make plays like that, all right, you guys are down, whatever, you're trying to get down the field, I'll end the game, I'll get a strip sack. But to answer your question, I do think it is a little bit of a conditioning issue.
Let's start with what you liked from the game in general, your takeaways, and say, okay, this is good, this is something that can be continued and replicated.
I'll give you one player, Jermaine Ifedi. I thought he had a really good game. He's a great addition. He's a much better guard than he is tackle, but I thought the run game, they blocked their butt off. But again, these two teams, the Lions and the Giants, kept lining up in nickel when they had two tight ends in. They didn't have two linebackers in. So the numbers are there for the Bears to be able to run the ball. It'll be interesting to see if teams change that up a little bit. But they're making push up front. The guys are blocking great up front. I mean, there was Jermaine Ifedi and Bobby Massey took Leonard Williams, I think, 7 or 8 yards down the field. And that was just fun to watch on one of the run plays. But I think the O-line is playing well in the run game. They still have some stuff to clean up in the passing game. But I really like how Matt Nagy and Juan Castillo has dialed up, you know, this run game plan, and they're sticking with it. And they found out these guys can run his scheme very well. And that's been the most encouraging thing. But we'll see if teams start loading the box against them a little bit. And that'll put some pressure on Mitch to be better in the passing game.
It also seems like Nagy has swallowed his pride a little bit. Whatever he envisioned upon arriving here, he now knows it's not going to be exactly that. And all of the razzle-dazzly horizontal stuff and stuff stretching sideline to sideline is not this offense now. There's a lot more vertical. There's a lot more lead block. There's heavy personnel. There's stuff that is going forward. I don't mind it one bit, and I do think it says something that he has decided that, yeah, this is okay, or this is proper.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it's that self-evaluation during the offseason that he's truly done it. He's figured out his personnel on this team. They're tight end heavy, obviously, with drafting Cole Kmet and bringing in Jimmy Graham, but, you know, he's figured out who they are, and I like it a lot. They got to score more points, though. I mean, that's the one thing. They got to get the ball in the end zone, but they're moving the ball a lot better, and I like the way he's dialing up these plays, and there's a lot of plays where Mitch looks a lot more comfortable back there than just standing behind the center with Montgomery next to him and running 4 or 5 wides out there and him trying to dissect the defense. But, yeah, I think Matt Nagy's done a nice job of figuring out who these guys are, and it'll be interesting to see if they continue doing this for the rest of the season. I mean, I hope they do. That's what I hope Matt Nagy is saying, all right, this is who we are. We're going to stick with it.
The top of the hour is brought to you by Golf Mill Ford. 1,000 new Fords are at Illinois' largest Ford dealer. Check them out at golfmillford.com. So maybe they do stack the box a little bit and say, okay, you're not going to run inside zone and have David Montgomery falling forward for 6-7 yards. What is next then? Does that mean all of a sudden Darnell Mooney's running free? Does that mean that out of some of these heavy packages, you're getting better matchups with the multiple tight end options? What's the pressure release then?
I think you just nailed it all right there. You should be the coach.
No,
I'm
serious.
That's right.
No.
You're going to get more linebacker matchups against the tight ends, right? So that's going to benefit the Bears. You're going to get, it's just one less DB back there and one bigger body in the box. So I think the matchups are just going to be better for the Bears, and then we'll see if Mitch can get the ball to the right guy. I think that's the simple answer. But yeah, it's going to, you take away the run game, that opens up the passing game. You try to take away the passing game, that opens up the run game, and we've seen that the last 2 weeks with the Bears.
What's the significance of Darnell Mooney essentially getting Ted Ginn benched and not just being active, but being part of the game plan? Like, he's out there 60% of the snaps. He matters now.
Yeah, the Ted Ginn signing to me was a little interesting. Was that a guy that's a veteran that comes into that room? But they already have Allen Robinson, so that's not even an answer. That one just was shocking to me. I don't know what they paid him, so that doesn't really matter. But I don't think it was a whole lot. But I love seeing young guys come in like him and play as well as he is. And there's a route, the one he had earlier in the middle, where he was
the zone route, right?
Yeah, sprinting right down the middle of the field, and then the safety just turned because he felt like he was going to be on his toes in 2 seconds, turned around, and Mitch hit him. And that's just that speed. That's the old Ted Ginn speed. So he's like a little younger Ted Ginn that he scared the heck out of that safety and pushed him back, and he was wide open for Mitch to hit him. So it's fun to see him do that, and that speed he has is pretty impressive.
Well, there's a lot of guys with speed, and there's a lot of college receivers with speed.
Right.
But what's different is understanding when and how to downshift.
Yes.
And sometimes that takes years. Sometimes it takes time. Our coach has to point it out on film. Like, when you see this, now you got to settle here. And it's such a carefully developed skill to have a feel for zones. And if he's already doing some of that, I think it's a really positive sign.
It's great. And then just his touchdown, just the way he came back to the ball and set up that throw for Mitch to be able to hit him. That's another impressive. That's instinctual football. That's a guy that gets it, that knows how to play wide receiver right now already as a rookie. And I think that's why you're seeing him get so many snaps. That, yes, he has that speed. He knows how to run the routes. And he just has that little bit of an instinct. It was great that Mitch was comfortable saying, all right, I'm going to throw to this kid, in the corner of the end zone. And he caught it and made it look easy.
What did you think of the designed Trubisky runs?
Not my favorite. There were a couple that weren't very good that just like the single back run to the right edge going to the Giants sideline. I don't like when he's running laterally. He's not the quarterback. He's not going to stick it up in there unless it's a designed run or a call where he's got to run up, one of those zone reads and he's got to hit it up the backside gap. I'm not opposed to it because you do get the numbers, but I don't like him running laterally. There was one he missed where Holtz was the lead blocker on the zone read, where Holtz looks back at him and just puts his hands up like, dude, we've been gone for 25 yards. So he missed that one, but those are the ones I like. I don't like the single back one where he's kind of just the running back running out on the edge.
Is that a long snapper IPA you've got? What is that?
No, what it is, it's a, what do you call these? The water bottle, and I put the long snapper IPA label on it.
Okay.
So I'm not drinking it at 10:16 in the morning. It's water.
Oh, okay.
It's just promotions. When I'm around, everybody's like, what are you drinking, a beer? I'm like, no, it's just water.
I was going to give you credit because now we're thinking it's probably beer. This is like, did you see on Friday when I was listening to the Danny Parkins show? Or was it Friday? No, I think it was Thursday when he had Dave Wannstedt on. And apparently Wani was on Twitch and it looked like he had a tumbler of bourbon.
And then,
and then he was kind of denying it, but it's like, why, at that point, why deny it? I thought it was so cool that Dave was on Twitch. It's a great little thing.
He is killing it right now, man. He is so entertaining on the score, on TV, everything. He's a guy, being a young kid, being a rookie when he was the head coach, I thought he was this, grand old man and oh my God, I can't talk to him. And they're like, no, he's just a person and he's actually a really fun guy.
And he said something that educated me, and I've always said this. I didn't like Dave as a head coach, but I would always hire him to game plan my defense. I think he's really good at watching film and really good at taking away, understanding how to take away something an opponent wants to do. When I was listening to him explain why it wasn't necessarily a mistake a couple of weeks ago for Matt Patricia to be in man when Trubisky started picking it apart, and because I thought it was just why would you ever play man? Why wouldn't you play zone against Trubisky when he has such a difficult time determining defenses and matchups and stuff? And he said, when you're down to your third and fourth corner, He said zone is complicated.
Yeah,
he said zone responsibilities, those guys are just not going to be as good. He said the best thing you can do if you're that far down your positional depth chart is just say that's your guy, cover him. He said he would have done the same thing even though it looked like it was the wrong thing to do.
That's interesting. That makes sense because, yeah, you got to be able to pass off zones, understand where to, you know, where your drop point is and all that kind of stuff. And the guys that are down the list like that, the special teamers, aren't getting the reps during the week. So, sure, just say, hey, you got him, go get him. You know, go back to your high school days when you played corner safety. You got him. And that's really smart.
We're talking with Patrick Manley as we do every Bears Monday. When we come back, I want to get into the mentality of what the record means and what the outcomes mean and whether or not the psychology of something like this is significant. And we're going to get the perspective of the longest tenured former Bear when we come back. I'm Dan Bernstein. That's Patrick Manley. You have Bears Monday on the Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
How are you feeling this morning, waking up a winner again? And how did those last frantic seconds of game action feel from the sideline?
Yeah, well, number one, it's always great to win in the NFL. It's not easy. So to be 2-0 is awesome. The last 2 weeks, having to come down to the last play of the game down there is definitely can get your heart rate going a little bit. But we'll learn off of the win. We'll get better in different areas. But I'm just proud of the team and the resiliency they showed.
That was Matt Nagy on our sister station WBBM News Radio this morning, kind of forgetting he was live on the radio. But we know that we are right now. Yeah, there you go. Dan Bernstein with you on Bears Monday. Patrick Manley is joining me, and we got a whole bunch of people watching on Twitch. You can see the handsome Patrick Manley in his music room in his lovely home, and you can see me in my bedroom in my lovely home if you want to go to twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. You know, I'm increasingly interested in some of this stuff that you can't measure when it comes to professional sports. And Patrick, I wonder, when you have a team that was expecting to be good, and they talked about it. They know how good the defense was. They know the number of star players that they have. And they start 2-0, but an imperfect 2-0, to be sure. And it allows a coach to continue to coach hard. Mm-hmm. But what is the effect when a team is allowed to begin thinking, look, that's two wins. Sky's the limit here. You've got a tough game on the road now that could be really a significant validation if they come away with a win. I'm just wondering how a head coach can approach his team, having their focus and having their ability to prepare, knowing that they've maybe raised the stakes a little bit already.
I think Coach Nagy's already doing a good job of it by saying we're just okay. You're not allowing a 2-0 team. You know, 2-0 to start in the NFL, that's what you're hoping for, but it's an ugly 2-0. So he's doing a great job, I think, of keeping guys that they're realistic of who they are. You know what I mean? They're not so good right now. So it's up to him to keep that. And what it does, too, is you walk into Hallis Hall, you feel a little bit better, but you expect – I'm sure he's telling his coaches, hey, coach these guys hard. And then what happens is when you come back Wednesday preparing for the Falcons or whoever the next team is, it's easier to wash that – coaching session away. You know what I mean? If you lose, then it kind of carries over and you feel like that coach is being just extra hard, and it's a little easier to move on to the next game. And that's what the head coach has to do in the coaches meetings, to get the guys or get his coaches to get that message across. And it sounds like Coach Nagy's doing that. A couple of the coaches I've talked to, it is that way. It feels that way, and they feel that way. So I think he's doing a good job of it, but it does help when you're 2-0, man. It really does.
I know that Mike Furry is going to be on Anthony Miller, and they they've had to coach him aggressively because it hasn't his development has been bumpy. Yep. And it was in his demeanor, in his concentration, in his work ethic. It's disappointing to see him have a bad second game after making some of the plays that he did in the first game. That's one that I had circled as an unfortunate little setback.
Yeah, I'm with you. Those were, you know, there were two catches he should have had, especially the one in the end zone. But, you know, we preached about him before that he had the, he's inconsistent, and we were hoping he would be consistent. And I think that's the key, is to help this offense score more than 17 points. Everybody has to be consistent, and he definitely has to be, because he can be a playmaker. And that was disappointing. I mean, that throw Mitch had, that's a perfect throw, and he's got to make that catch. And if he wants to be great, he's got to make that catch. If he wants to be consistent, he's got to make that catch. What you want to see is him have a good game, build on that in the game, and keep building and keep building. And they really need him to, I hate to say it, but you need guys like him to help Mitch, you know, feel better about his game. Make those plays and keep Mitch confident in his arm and his throws.
A little bit of breaking news here from Adam Schefter, who says Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey is expected to be sidelined multiple weeks with the ankle injury he suffered Sunday. Yeah, it was a meat grinder of an injury day in the NFL with big names everywhere. Teams just decimated. And obviously tomorrow with Paul Charchian at 11:20, it's going to be, you know, odd times for fantasy players right now, reconfiguring, rejiggering so many of these rosters. The Bears' health has to be looked at in now or at any time as a strong positive.
Yeah, I'm knocking on wood while you say that. And that's, I heard you earlier too about the 2001 season, I think it was, where we just kind of stayed healthy and kept rolling, and the next thing you know, we're 13-3.
Right.
And it is health right now. I think it's going to help the Bears going forward. And it's unfortunate to see all those big names get hurt yesterday, and it'll be interesting to follow it up to see if this continues to be a trend throughout the season with not having an off season, with not having a true training camp. And health is part of it. You know, that's you hate seeing guys go down when you're playing against them, but you're also, like when Saquon Barkley went down, you're like, oh, it's just terrible. But you're like, all right, that gives us a better chance to win. And that's just kind of the way it goes on the sideline and through the team. But I just hope it's not this trend doesn't continue throughout the season, because it's just going to water down the NFL with some of the talent, and you hate seeing the big names go out.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Golf Mill Ford. 1,000 new Fords are at Illinois' largest Ford dealer. Check them out at golfmillford.com. How concerned are you about Danny Trevathan? It looks like the Bears, they acknowledged that he's not himself by taking him off the field on some passing downs. He's not moving the way he usually moves. Is this what the end looks like, or does the burst come back?
I don't know. And I went through the tape again today, and that was one of the guys I wanted to watch. And he just looks slow again. He looked lost. He looked lost in his pass coverage again. He had a crossing route in front of him. It looked like the safety had the left side, and he went over with the safety in the zone and didn't take the running back that was going to the right. And he just doesn't seem like he's flying to the ball when it's downfield. Remember, he would be the guy that'd be the first one to come in and just drill the guy, 5 yards down the field from chasing. And it just doesn't seem like he has that anymore. It just, that, I don't know if you call it a killer instinct, but that hitting mentality where he just wanted to hit everything. Even in the line of scrimmage, he doesn't look like he had a few where he filled pretty hard, but I just remember him in the past. He was always the guy on counter plays or power plays or whatever. He's just flying up there and sticking his nose in there, and you're just not seeing that either. So it's discouraging, Dan, to see it for 2 weeks in a row. We were really hoping for this week for him to come back and step up. And, you know, he even talked about it. He needed to play better, and it's discouraging he didn't. That means he wanted to, but maybe his body's just not allowing it. So let's just hope this trend doesn't continue, but we will see.
He's a player you can hear when he's going well. That's a guy who there's a sound that he makes getting to the play, where if you've been around football, you know those guys. Brian Cox used to be like that when he was still close to the peak of his powers. That the guy, these linebackers arriving somewhere, their impact made a different sound. I'm not hearing it.
Yeah, you're not. And he's the guy, too, you know, if you're on the pile and next thing you get hit in the back by your teammate, you're like, man, what are you doing? But you love that effort. You know what I mean? Right. You hear guys all the time like, why are you hitting me? He's already down. But you want that guy on your team. You want that guy flying in on that pile. And I think Mike Swetman used to call it a JOP, a jump on the pile, for our special teams unit. He wanted guys flying in there and getting that extra crack, even if it was your own guy. And Danny was that guy, and we're just not seeing it right now.
I thought Roquan Smith played pretty well, and I like the way that he's moving. I thought it was a very strange penalty that he had, because the moment he lunged at Daniel Jones, I went, oh, God, that's an obvious penalty. What are you doing? And everybody in real time at real speed thought, oh, yeah, that's brutal. You can't do that. He didn't hit him.
No.
He missed him completely. Yes. And that's one of those things where I thought it was absolutely 100% the right call until I saw the other angle. And I'm like, how? And I know they have to flag it because of the timing of it. The timing of those bodies moving made it a flag, but there was no damage done.
But Daniel Jones also went to slide, I think it was like 3.5-4 yards before. He should have gone down earlier. Roquan Smith, so this is what I think. During the week, Chuck Pagano told that defense, listen, Daniel Jones can beat you with his legs. You've got to get him down once he escapes the pocket. You got to get to him. You got to rally to the ball. You can't let him get those extra yards. And Daniel Jones did that a few times when he escaped the pocket. So I think it's just ingrained in their mind, like, we got to get to him. We got to hit him. We got to hit him. And I think Roquan is like, when's he going to slide? When's he going to slide? Maybe he's going to try to break it a little bit longer. And you go back and look, it's 3.5-4 yards. Finally, Daniel Jones goes down. And it's agreed. I think in today's NFL, you've got to call that. But for both of them, or really for Roquan to leap and then just turn at the last second, just shows how good of an athlete he is. But that was a tough call. But I think that's kind of the, you know, just the way, like I said, where the NFL is right now, you got to throw that flag. But I think they were preached to all week, get him on the ground. Don't let him get those extra yards with his legs.
Something you said last week was that you thought Nagy did a good job of running the right plays for the right running backs. Mm-hmm. And Cordarrelle Patterson actually hits the hole a little bit better than I thought he would. That not everything has to be out to the edge for him. They did a little bit more of the same. And I thought that the Giants did a really good job of staying disciplined in their lanes on the outside stuff with Cordarrelle Patterson. And I'm wondering if he isn't ready for, even with the upright running style, he gets started pretty well. And he picks a spot. His vision's pretty good. I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of the zone stuff with him.
I'm with you 100%. And the zone stuff to him is kind of like a kickoff return where you know you're going to go run off whatever double team between the, you know, if they're going to double team the L5 or whatever they're running, that he's got to hit. That's his landmark, but then he finds the hole after that, and that's kind of what a zone run is. You know, obviously, it's a lot closer, not as long as a kickoff return, but I think the Bears made the right decision making him just pretty much a full-time running back. He does look good. He does have that Eric Dickerson upright kind of running style, but I think he can do it all. And he's kind of showing that when he had to get in there when Montgomery got hurt. And by the way, man, oh, when Montgomery went down on his neck.
That was ugly.
That was, oh, I kind of thought of like Johnny Knox when he took that hit. You know, you just don't know, it was just not good. It's great to see him come back though. Thank goodness.
Yeah, it looked like if you've ever been around, like you see a wrestling practice and you watch mm-hmm. like high school or college wrestlers do that move where they just use their neck, like they go on their back and to strengthen those muscles. And you're like, it looks so painful, but it's so important for their leverage to like have a super strong neck.
Right.
And all I'm thinking, like you wonder why in strength and conditioning you get guys, you know, making sure that you've got supporting large muscle groups that matter right there. You can keep yourself from pretty serious injuries by having strength up and around there.
Oh, no doubt about it. But that was just don't know. I mean, when a guy's coming down like that, you know, how does it land? And thank goodness it wasn't bad. And obviously he's, like you said, got strong enough neck muscles to take it, but that scared the heck out of me.
Yeah, he looks better to me, though, in general. I mean, he mm-hmm. looks more decisive and more down the field and more confident in not having to show every little move that he's got until he's already at the second level of the defense. I still think the arrow is really pointed up for him as both a runner and receiver.
I'm with you 100%, and you're right. He looks more decisive. He looks like he knows what he's doing. He knows where he wants to go. It looks like the running plan now, he's told, all right, this is where the hole's going to be, or, you know, look in this area and go hit it. And he looks a lot more comfortable, and, you know, he's good in the passing game. I think he fits this offense perfectly. I think he's a good draft pick, and it's good to see, you know, what he's doing right now. But a lot of that credit, too, Dan, goes to the O-line. That O-line is blocking their butt off up front, and they're getting a lot of movement. So let's just hope this trend continues.
More injury news rolling in. Pro Football Talk says a significant knee injury is now feared for Broncos wide receiver Cortland Sutton. This is already with Drew Lock out, set to miss multiple weeks with an AC joint sprain. Not going to be easy for Vic Fangio to keep his job because the drums are beating there loudly.
Well, he'll get a job somewhere else quickly, maybe not as a head coach, but that's unfortunate. Yeah, you hate seeing Mondays with all these injuries come in, and they're bad ones too. They're not just hamstrings or, you know, something light. So that's too bad.
When we come back, we have to get into the pressing news of the day, and that is Steve Belichick's insane mullet. You know, you always refer to the gourmet mullet, and you are a proud and self-described mullet expert. And you come by it honestly, having been born and raised in Georgia and then attending college in North Carolina and spending time as you have across the NFL. This thing deserves a little bit of attention because it's pretty awesome. And we're going to get the full description and the rating and find out if it's ironic or earnest. This is all very, very important stuff we'll have to get into next with Patrick Manley on The Score.
So one of the 17 New England assistant coaches is that man right there, Steve Belichick, son of Bill, coaches the outside linebackers. Gerard Mayo coaches the inside backers, calling the defenses in. Patriots have only 17, I say only 17 assistant coaches, tied with Pittsburgh for the fewest in the league.
Yeah, I had a chance to visit with him a little bit yesterday. Very nice guy, very humble guy. Said, I just love coaching with my dad. I said, would you ever consider leaving? He said, you know, I feel like I'm learning something new every day. I don't know why, and nobody's asked me yet. So I was like, okay, good enough.
Yeah, that's important.
That's from NBC last night, but the visual told it all. There was business in the front, and there was a very, very serious party going on in the back. I'm not quite sure what the statement is or what's going on there, but we need the assessment of a self-proclaimed mullet connoisseur to explain the Steve Belichick look.
Are you ready for it?
Well, I know you've been putting something together here. I know.
Ever since I tweeted it
last night, I know that you weren't going to come unprepared.
So I've been staring at the picture here. I got it up here on Twitch for the last during the whole break. It's dirty, and that's like the greatest compliment I can give it. Like, it's awesomely dirty. It's amazing. I got two. I really want to know, did he take the Flobee up top and then just kind of let the party happen in the back? But I actually think he goes to a salon to get this done, because the blending from the party, from the business to the party, is amazing. And then he looks like he has some highlights. So I don't know if he gets this thing highlighted or those are natural highlights. If they are natural highlights, good for him. But this thing is, it's a thing, man. It's just dirty, and that's a compliment. He wears it really well. I'm very impressed, but I do want to know if he goes to like a salon to get that done. You can't go to like your corner store or corner barber. They just don't know how to do that. This thing's too pretty.
Yeah, that's artwork, man. That's expensively dirty. And I always tell people that my college years, 87 to 91, in Durham, North Carolina, coincided with what I think was the reigning heyday of two great American hairstyles. For the brothers, it was the high top fade. It was everybody had a fade or a box of some kind. We're talking about the fades just kept getting higher and higher and higher and more trapezoidal, the famous, the kid and play kind of thing. And the North Carolina mullet of the era. And that one that Steve Belichick has, there was a hardware store out on Hillsborough Road called Heckinger's. And, it was down on Hillsborough as you went toward the Waffle House, and there were a bunch of fast food places. That's where Bojangles mm-hmm. Chicken and Taco Bell, there's a Kroger on the corner, and then you would head down to Hackinger's, whatever you needed. And there was a guy that worked at that hardware store that had that. And it wasn't a salon thing. That was just what he had rocking. And that it made me nostalgic. Like I could taste Piedmont barbecue looking at that hairdo.
I can't get over it. I'm mesmerized just looking at my phone at this picture. It's amazingly done. And I can't wait. I'm just going to follow up with him each week and try to get the TV copy just to, hopefully they zoom in on it just to see, does he keep this thing manicured like it is? The blending is amazing from the business to the party. And the party is just, it's awesome. And the picture here is Bill Belichick in the background.
Yeah.
So it's his dad looking on. It's just, I love it. He had to be like, what are you doing, Steve?
Yeah, and at what age do you sort of stop having responsibility for your kid's hair? Because we're dealing with it with
this
with
one,
Jason.
Whatever age he is now.
because my son is, we don't know what's going on with his hairdo right now, but it's got, he had classic, you know, COVID teenage boy hair. Like he had the COVID do, and then he kind of fell in love with it. So it's like, finally time, we're getting your hair cut. And then he said, yeah, but I don't want to lose my flow. You know, I gotta keep this going. Right. I gotta keep this going to the front here. And like, he now has to wear, like, under his goalie mask, he has to wear
a nylon,
it's a do-rag thing. And then he takes his helmet off and he throws it all around, like, you know, sweaty hockey hair. And even on the baseball, like, he takes his hat off, he's on the mound, and he takes his hat off, and he like plays with it. And I'm like, you know, and then he sits on the couch and it's in his face and he looks like Jughead. And I'm like, come on, man, this is just getting unreasonable. It's like, no. And I'm letting him have full ownership of it. This is my first time as a parent confronting that whole issue.
Well, like you said, you know, back in the 80s or early 90s, that was the style. So he's going to grow, you know, once he gets older, just take a lot of pictures when he looks at himself.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, really? I did that?
Yep.
So
wedding
just call
photos.
Him out for it later. Let him go right now.
Yep. It's going to be the photos for the wedding. Absolutely. So let's think about this matchup the Bears have with the Atlanta Falcons right now. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love the fact that we have a huge, huge week three. This is a dramatic opportunity for validation. And it's either going to be they are what we thought they were and they're really not all that good. If they come out of there with a win, this thing is turbocharged.
I'm with you. And the Falcons lost last week with getting three turnovers from the, there's some stat, something since 1933, I forgot what it is, but no team has ever done what the Falcons did against the Cowboys. So defensively, if our offense can't get rolling, then that's a kind of a scary thing, because this Falcons defense does not look very good so far in the first 2 weeks. But, you know, starting 3-0, then you got the Colts, and then you get the Buccaneers. I mean, Colts, you know, they picked it up this week, but let's just talk about the Falcons. It's a chance for them to take that next step. Maybe these first two games are kind of preseason games, and maybe they can take that next step and be who they think they are, if that makes sense.
I also think it's incremental progress that no one is saying the name Nick Foles, right? Mm-hmm. We never knew coming out of the quote-unquote competition. And then we're thinking, well, you know, ultimately it's still going to be a competition. And how long is the leash? And we had the halftime, and then Trubisky has. It's sort of been, you know, what you get each quarter is what you get. And for the most part, I think bottom line, we can conclude he's been good enough to quiet some of the issues about the position. Would you agree? I mean, just we're not talking about it. It appears that we all just sort of went into this Bears Monday understanding that for now Trubisky he's the quarterback and the competition's over, and that's the difference between two games and one game was significant in that regard.
I agree with you. And going back and looking over the game again today, and the two interceptions he had, the first one to Allen Robinson where Bradbury kind of jumped the route. Do you remember the sideline copy when Allen Robinson was on the sideline just kind of shaking his head? I couldn't tell whether he was upset at himself because he didn't come back to the ball hard enough or because, you know, there was an interception or whatever. But that, to me, it wasn't that terrible of a throw by Mitch. It was just another great play by Bradbury, who had two great plays on Allen Robinson for the two picks that I guess he had one pick caused that.
Yeah, that second one. Never, never in his career is he going to make that play, anything close to that play. But the way that had to time up for that not to be DPI, because he didn't turn his head. He played the pocket brilliantly and took it out of his hands and kept possession and stayed in bounds. That's a once-in-a-lifetime pick.
That's one of the picks you go back to highlights of 2020, that'll be on that reel. But, you know, back to Mitch, that I went back and watched it. He didn't play that bad. I thought he played okay. You know, he has two interceptions on his play sheet, but I don't put those both of them on him. That one play, the second one you were just talking about, that's just a – That's a miraculous interception. And the other one, I'm not sure if it was on Mitch. It'll be interesting if and when Matt Nagy or Mitch are asked about that, what their breakdown is of that. Because to me, Allen Robinson didn't come back to the ball hard enough.
Uh-huh.
And I used to hear that in practice all the time, that he didn't come back hard enough, and that lets the defender run through him and get the interception. And if you're going to call the one on Eddie Jackson, they should have called that one on Bradbury as well, because he ran through Allen Robinson to get the ball. They
that
were
is,
kind of close.
It's one quibble that I've had with Allen Robinson is that that is something that he does. That he does not bust his ass coming back for the ball, even in a crowd. He's a terrific receiver. Don't get me wrong. Why do you hate Allen Robinson? I don't. It's just something that I have criticized him for in the past. That it does. It's just not something that he does as well as all the everything else that he does.
Yeah, I can't recall ones in the past, but you know, every player, they have something they need to work on, even the great ones. So that's not a knock on Allen Robinson. I'm sure that Mike Furry is telling him, hey, you should have come back harder to the ball. And you know, he needed to do that. That's how you help your quarterback. And that's taught. That's yelled at during practice all the time.
Patrick, love this. Can't wait till next week. And love hearing your work as all around all the scores, Bears coverage on Sundays. Appreciate it as always, man.
Thanks, man. It's always fun chatting with you. Talk to you next week.
That is Patrick Manley, and that is his hour on Bears Monday, leading us up to Hub Arkish. He comes your way next on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.